podcast. This is John Gora with you. And on the other side, I have my beautiful friend, Janavi Kati, who is discussing with us the meaning of being having a mindset, either negative or positive, but we are concentrating on the positive side of mindset that helps the youths, the old, we call them the millennial or the aged group, to know how to get into life, to grow their lives spiritually, professionally, or financially, anything. You have to have a positive mindset, a mindset of growth, trying to learn something new every day, not sticking to those that have been tested and like believed that that is the only way or that is not the only way. So as we continue with this discussion, Janavi, there's something that we know in a life of any human being that triggers a mindset. It can either trigger your mindset on a positive side or on a negative side. And these are what we refer to as challenges. I wanted to know from your own words, what are the biggest challenges are the biggest threat in life, but they have values. So these values are what I want to see or hear from your side as a mindset coach. How do you handle challenges, and how important are challenges in a person's life with your own approach? And after that, we will look at one challenge in life. But now, just handle us with us. How do you handle these challenges, and what are the values challenges have in a person's life?
Well, it's a great question, John. And I would say, you know, every challenge is nothing but a stepping stone to success, or it could be a stepping stone to more opportunities. So maybe if one door closes, then a window opens, or if a window closes, another door opens. So this is something which I would say a person with having an optimistic or a positive mindset looks at. And many a time what happens is because of the stress or because of the lack of having the presence of mindful being, a person loses that kind of a perspective, doesn't have the right perspective or the frame of mind, which is another definition of mindset. So in that kind of a frame of mind, person starts becoming negative and starts having the challenge of not looking at things in the right perspective, or getting overwhelmed looking at the challenge and even not even able to assess what the challenge is all about. For example, I mean, if there is a challenge or a problem at, you know, on hand, the first thing anybody can do is have a very a kind of stepping back and looking at the problem and spending some time over that instead of just jumping into it and trying to solve it. And most of us try to solve it immediately, and probably because of the the doing it in such a mindless way, we start attracting more problems. So these are the challenges. Most of the time, the challenges more than external, I would say, usually it's an internal because of the mindset. The challenges are more internal than external. So for example, it's just like 10% is what happens in life and 90% is how you respond to it. So that's a great eye-opener, because if we start looking at things a little with a broader perspective and then zoom in and look at it, look at the nitty-gritties, probably, you know, do some take up some tasks one at a time, that would give us much more broader picture and also the better perspective to have some roadmap to solving those challenges. So having said that, now, you know, one way of approaching this is having the positive mindset and developing it. And if you already have, then, you know, you need to see to it that that energy is all the time maintained, because it's an energy, right? I mean, this whole mindset, as I explained in the first part, it's nothing but your thoughts, and the thoughts which have become more crystallized or started manifesting as beliefs, and then these beliefs always start producing certain feelings, and these are the feelings which will always give you certain triggers when you take up doing some action. And even before you have realized, you would have certain expectations or anticipation of the result. And being unaware of this, you would only get that result which you have anticipated or which you have expected. Now, all this is happening at a very intangible, on an energy level, which many of us do not even understand or not aware of. But once you start becoming aware that this is a whole lot of energy work that needs to be done, that is becoming aware of your thoughts, first of all, and once you become aware, becoming mindful as well as more forgiving that you have these kinds of negative thoughts, not getting into the trap of becoming more, not being too judgmental about it. So being non-judgmental, having the taking care of yourself, having the patience as well as the love towards your own self, and gently trying to coax the mind to stop thinking negative and turn towards the positive. So it's like the mind is like a monkey, you know. So you have to actually, you know, it's like slowly you need to take out the toy or the thing that it has just taken away from you. So you cannot just force it to do certain things, or just like imagine a small child, you know, you have to coax the monkey or the child to slowly take it away, or it could become more, it could actually, you know, flare up and get into a different level of aggravation. The problem could get aggravated. Mm-hmm. So once you start becoming aware of how you can actually tame all those thoughts and bring certain thoughts, you know, into your mind, because this is an energy game, I would say. And once you suppose, let's take a sport, a person who's a sportsman, then, you know, he is just going to think about his game. You know, there are factors that will come into his mind of what if, you know, I kind of fall down, or if I get knocked down, or somebody tries to overpower me, or I'm not able to do that or this. Then, you know, he has to just bring all those thoughts, get becoming aware of those thoughts, and slowly, slowly, slowly coaxing your mind to stop thinking those things by awareness, just gently letting go of those thoughts and bringing the positive thoughts of I'm going to do this and I can do this, or feel and take it into the feeling mode, you know. And this happens only when you keep doing it, practicing it, because your subconscious mind is something like a CPU in your, just like how you have a CPU in your computer. It is just taking all those thoughts, recording them, programming, and giving you the software to play the system. So when these things are getting recorded in your mind, the thoughts, you need to take care what kind of thoughts you are actually storing in your CPU. So gently taking away, weeding out all the negative thoughts and keeping on affirming the positive thoughts will start producing. It's like at a point, you know, where these things will start manifesting as feelings, right? And once they become feelings in your body, you have those sensations as well. Now, taking the sportsman's example, that person will start feeling charged up, and then he'll dash, and then he'll take the action, and he will feel that kind of an energy, a positivity, and the expectation and the anticipation with that action will also produce the results that he's really expecting and anticipating. So, in fact, there was some research done where all these marathon runners, they were actually the biofeedback machine was put onto their heads, and then they were tested and seen what was going on in their minds before they actually start the game. And the scientists saw that the ones who reached the post were the ones who had actually visualized reaching there in their mind. And the ones who fell down or couldn't make it were the ones who actually saw that things, those things happening, you know, maybe consciously or maybe not consciously. Sometimes, you know, we are not even conscious what we are thinking and feeling and doing. So these were the findings, you know, and then it that it shows that things manifest in our mind first, and then it happens on the external, in the physical dimension. Many people, most of us know this, most of us know it. But it's still, it's easy said than done, you know. It's so easy said than done. Yeah. Because when you bring this into practice, that is the challenge. Because you asked me about the challenge, right? So most of us do the affirmations, most of us do the visualization, we do the creative work in the mind, dynamic meditation. But in spite of all that, we need to do the work about keeping on focusing on what am I feeling, you know, mindfully start becoming conscious about your feelings. And if you are not feeling positive, that means that it's like a it's a thermometer which is showing the temperature of your, you know, the way your body is behaving, I mean, feeling wise. So take a step back and then notice it, and consciously breathing, you let it go out of your system. So when you keep doing this parallelly, and then you keep feeding all the positive affirmations, so it becomes a kind of a pattern or a mindset for you of an abundance mindset or a success mindset or, you know, a kind of a positive mindset. So these are the challenges, and these are the ways to tackle that, those challenges, using your mindset. So I hope it makes sense to you.
it makes a lot of sense, and I really agree with you. The challenges should be part of life, and they should be even part of motivating factors towards self-improvement. So in line with that, something comes on, and it will be part of the last question we're going to tackle here. In line with challenges, one of the biggest challenge in life is self-acceptance and understanding oneself, which has widely made life uncomfortable to many. So as a mindset coach, how do you help people to overcome this kind of a challenge? How do you help people to accept themselves? And how can someone, you know, sometimes like, you know, Davina Cole says it, that she's fat and brilliant, you know? You know, getting to accept that fact that people look down upon in you, and believing in yourself, and coming up with a brand and creating that, using that negative side to create a brand like Davina did it, is a big challenge. So what is your advice, and how do you handle it as a mindset coach to help people to accept themselves the way they are?
I would just give my own example. And I actually had these, I had this lot of stories in my head, and then very creative mindset. So this also hampered my, the way I was operating my mind. Though I was writing poetry, though I was doing a very successful job and very, very efficient and brilliant in my job, the thing was, there were a lot of judgments, there were a lot of, negative beliefs about others, not more so about myself, but then about others. And as I slowly started understanding the whole process about the mind, using the mindfulness techniques, as well as the mindset that I was training and coaching others, as well as learning myself, I realized that most of the stories that we see, in fact, with others, and then the judgments that we make, is something I think we have it in our own belief systems. It's like ingrained in our system, which is something like we are judging ourselves. And it's like every person is like a mirror to you, and they are reflecting who you are. And that's what I understood. And out of a blue, out of nowhere, you know, I got this idea about writing a book, I think around 5 or 6 years back, and that project is still going on. And I called it The Story to Satori. Because Satori is a Buddhist term, which means a kind of a sudden enlightenment. It is actually a spiritual enlightenment. But then I understood that we are all spiritual beings in human bodies. And no matter how much ever we are evolved or not evolved, we are at the core. We are all connected at one level. And just like your podcast radio says, it's like one nation, you know, one spirit. We are all in one spirit. And this was my whole intention, was to relieve myself, my mind, out of all the judgments and all those stories that I have built of people, and then get into the area of Satori, where there is a lot of space, there is light, wisdom, there is a kind of a it's a beautiful space to be in, where there is no judgment, where there is no no kind of limiting beliefs, no disempowering stories, and there is so much of possibility there. So this was something that it worked for me, and I did a lot of self work. I got certain results. I got a conviction, and it became a kind of a belief in me. And over the period of time, I started applying the same techniques to my clients in coaching. And they have started producing the same results. So what I'm trying to say here is, this Story to Satori is a brand which I have created. But then at the same time, it's like a brand for the people who think it's a brand. But for me, it's like a breath. You know, every day I live and breathe that. And I want to actually give this to the world as a gift and use it as a tool for helping people who are struggling with their judgments, with their limiting beliefs, with the mindset, which is obstructing seeing themselves as pure, as, you know, energy, in the form of energy, in the form of possibilities, in the form of light, in the form of love. And this is possible when, you know, you start realizing it consciously, you start wanting this and also expecting that, yes, this is possible. And that's my whole journey. I mean, my journey, as I told you, you know, it started at the age of 18, unconsciously. I mean, I was writing poetry, but then I never knew this is what is all about. You know, I was just writing out of intuition, out of the muses coming out of me. But now when I read my own poetry, I understand that that's what it all meant then. And now it makes more sense to me, because now I understand, you know, from where I was coming all the time. And yeah. So now I'm connecting the dots and I'm understanding this was my purpose in life, to let go of all my stories, all the judgments that I have about people, and which keep coming in the background. You know, being human, it's like a tendency, right? You have these tendencies.
Yeah.
But then the beauty of the thing is, it's not about, I would say, I read it in one of the spiritual books just a couple of days ago. It's not a sin or an evil to get tempted. It's to resist that temptation is what is, you know, consciously you're using your will. That is when your willpower is strengthened and you can become a real wonderful human being, you know, whether it's spiritual or on a material world. So there is always a test that is happening for us as human beings. And the test is to see that how you can resist all those, you know, the judgments. I mean, the resistance is not in the form of you push them out, but in fact, accepting that resistance, as you said, self-acceptance is so important. And actually seeing that dark side of yourself, or the shadow side of your personality, accepting it, loving it, and seeing that it is part, you know, just like day and night, and then you have all the duality in nature. So similarly, you have this, you know, and only when you have the light, dark, you have the value for the light, right? So that is the way I have started seeing everything, and my whole mission is to now help other people, and I'm also using it in my coaching practice, and seeing to it that people see that kind of a light and energy and positivity.
One Talk Podcast.
The home of love.
Listen and learn.
That's very brilliant, my sister. So I'm looking at our time. We are getting late with our time, but this conversation is really helpful, and I like the way you're putting things and putting light into darkness, sending away darkness, and trying to help us here understand what mindset is all about. And aside from the mindset coach, you are also in lifestyle entrepreneur. So I would just want to know a little bit of it in the shortest time possible. What it's all about, this lifestyle entrepreneur, what do you do with it, and how is it helping the community, the society, and the people around you?
So put it in a gist, it's nothing but having the lifestyle you deserve, because we all deserve a good lifestyle. Now with all the stresses that we are going through in the current world, and with all that overwhelm with information and with the travel and with lot of things happening around us, the emotional toil as well as the physical stress. So the thing is that you can create a lifestyle where you don't have to feel rushed. You don't have to feel stressed. You can be your own boss. You can work from home, and you can do your business in any part of the world. And so the lifestyle entrepreneur is nothing but sharing your gifts to the world and creating, a business out of your passions. So if suppose you are, you know, for example, if there is a coach or a trainer or a digital analyst or digital in the space of digital world, this person or anybody for that matter, it could be cooking or it could be drawing or it could be any sort of a creative passion. So you can just create an online course and sell it to the world. But having said that, it's like enjoying the journey as well. It's not about just making money. It's also having your me time. It's also having your values in place, getting that kind of doing self-care, having a growth mindset, growing as a person, as well as adding value to the society, adding value to the clients, and having a great lifestyle. So that's what is all about lifestyle entrepreneurship in short.
So
created my training and mindset, abundance mindset, as well as mindfulness courses, and I'm offering it to the world.
Oh wow, that's great. And I hope that we're gonna have a link to that, and we'll post it with this so that anyone who wants to be part of it can access the way towards that. And I like and love the way you came up with that kind of entrepreneurial structure of, and you call it a lifestyle entrepreneur. It's just kind of giving back to the society and getting something small out of it. It's not all about, you know, focusing on making money or profits, but it's about growing the society, growing the community, sharing with them what you have, and in return you get something small out of it. And this is how we live today. This is the kind of life that we are living today. And it was nice having you on One Talk podcast, Genavi. And you know, as usual, One Talk podcast is never a podcast without that one thing that not anyone who will see your profile on LinkedIn will know. There's always that one thing. It can be about your family. It can be about your profession. It can be about just what you do and you love doing that we cannot find on LinkedIn, but you can share it with our audience. So that's what we want to listen to right now. And the podium is yours, Genavi.
Oh, thank you. And this is something very surprising. And so the one thing nobody knows on LinkedIn is, I have got three granddaughters, and I love them, and they love me, of course. And we have a great time all. Whenever we get an opportunity, we are kind of having a gala time, having holidays together, and we keep meeting them. And many of my friends, they don't know that I have such grown-up grandchildren. So I've got two twin granddaughters and another granddaughter. So I've got three from my two daughters. So that's something
wow.
I think many of my friends on LinkedIn don't know, and many wouldn't know. Yes.
And that's why we call it a One Talk podcast, because it is the place where we meet once and we get a story. We keep, you know, life is all about what is said. And, you know, when somebody tells you a story or somebody tells you an information, it really sticks in mind than when you are given something. You know, a story triggers a multi-purpose of trying to figure out, oh, so Janavi, this is how she looks like, this is how she lives, this is what she did, and, you know, it changes the mindset as well. So it's yes. great to know that you've got a family you love, and this is what we love to hear from everyone.
Yeah.
So the remaining few seconds is for mm-hmm. that one last parting shot that you would love mm-hmm. to give to the audience and to those okay. people also. I really wanted, before the parting shot, mm-hmm. you do the story to Satori, even though you touched it, and that's why I didn't want to go back to it. You touched yeah. it a little bit. And mm. I see some videos you do on LinkedIn about story to Satori. Mm. If one mm. person or somebody wants to be part of it, how mm. or where can they mm. meet you to have these stories?
Okay. Yes, they could just email me, and my email ID is JAAHNAVIAATTI@gmail.com. It's just mm-hmm. simple. And if they just send me an email, and I would get in touch with them, or they can interact on the email. My website is under construction, so I just had to give the email. So mm-hmm. that's also good. And or else I'm on Facebook. I have a page, Lifestyle Entrepreneur Janavi Katti, as well as I'm available on LinkedIn. They can DM me, and I will be more than happy to have them as my guest. And I want you, John, as my guest. I am so very honored, and I enjoyed this whole, the podcast with you. And mm-hmm. I'm so grateful that I could be your guest, and I want you to be my guest on Story to Satori. I would like to listen to your story.
that was the sweetest thing that I got for a first invitation when I'm doing an interview. It's wonderful,
okay.
And I really appreciate that, and I'm always ready for such kind of platforms to share our stories, because it's what makes the world better place to be.
Yes.
So a story is what defines what the world we are supposed to live in. So we'll get in touch, and we'll organize that, and so that we can tell our stories together. It was
sure.
much, much privilege to have you here, and I really appreciate
Thank
your time.
You.
It's a pleasure, and your simplicity, I just love it, and I really appreciate this, and I really appreciate also Rama Sama for connecting us to
yeah.
have this a wonderful talk that we had today.
Yeah.
So I think now you're preparing to get to rest, and it will be a pleasure to leave you to get to bed and rest yourself out of the daily works as we continue with the life in this part of the world, because it's still
thank
around 7 o'clock, so
yeah.
still business as usual. So thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Coming, my sister. Thank you, and I really
thank
appreciate
you. Thank
that.
Thank you, John, and I really want to congratulate you on your wonderful work that you're doing, and I wish you all the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for choosing One Talk Podcast and listening to today's message. I hope you subscribe, not to miss any episode that comes each and every week. We'll drop it right here to inspire not only you, but the world over. One Talk, the world unites.